Hey, Dusty, can you play that Caglione home run again, please?
No, as much as you want.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, that's, I mean, I don't know who that is. But was that off Carlos Estevez by chance?
No.
Oh, okay.
Tell you, man, as soon as I saw Andy Rogers' tweet yesterday, I sent it directly to Bob Fesco.
God, I'm scared to death. I really am.
We had our little meet and greet up at our friends at Heartland Men's Health yesterday. How the Royals look. First, Mac, I'm not even kidding you. 0.3 seconds out of Fesco's mouth. I don't know, man. Carlos has got me in a fumble.
Well, he does. I mean, you've seen bad closures. I mean, we saw, you know, 10 years ago it was now. But, I mean, my God, I can't believe it's been 10 years. But the reincarnation of Joaquin Soria here in Kansas City, what a disaster that was. I was talking to my friend Gemini yesterday, right? Gas Can Oria, you know, or, you know, whatever. Butane Oria.
To give reference, though, Andy Rogers tweeted yesterday, Carlos Estevez's velocity was down, way down today. In his spring debut, 86 to 89 miles per hour. This is obviously eyebrow raising and something to monitor, but not new. It's exactly what came up last year. It's typically a slow start for him. Royals really rely on how he says he feels.
So what's interesting to me is both her and Vern, who are more in tune with the team than anybody I've ever met in my entire life.
I'd say her,
right?
Vern, and Jalen Thompson.
Those are the three. Those are the people that are embroiled into this. And it's interesting that they're all kind of caveating with, well, this did happen before, but yet they're all talking about it, right? Right. Mm-hmm. If this was normal, maybe we're not talking about it, though. That's how I look at it. Like, if this is Estevez every year, we should be like, oh, there's nothing big about it. But the way that Andy Rogers and the way that Vern are talking about it has me concerned that it is different than something that every year. And I think the every year stuff may be a little bit of something that everybody's kind of using as some positivity to kind of fall back. And, well, this happens every year. Let's see. But, you know, the average lifespan, like I said, I was talking to my friend Gemini yesterday, 2 to 4 years is the average lifespan of a closer in Major League Baseball. I mean, that is it. Obviously, there are outliers, but when you put that much kind of taxation, if you will, on your arm, like those are tough outs to get the ninth inning, right? That's not the sixth inning. That's not, you know, the intensity of outs they always talk about. Those final three outs are the most intense outs of any baseball game. And so guys are going to get, you know, all their energy worked out in a couple of years because they're going full speed, you know, balls to the wall, basically, for an entire inning like that. No other pitcher does that in baseball, right? Nobody goes balls to the wall for one inning like closers do. And so they blow out very, very fast. And, you know, with both Andy Rogers and Vern, like, raising, not like answering our questions about it, but legitimately bringing it up and having it at the forefront. Yeah, I am concerned about where he is right now.
Yeah, every time you see the name Carlos Estevez attached to Andy Rogers or Vern, it's got Bob going,
oh, gosh.
Oh, gosh.
It does, man.
Have you seen this, though, in the past ever in players that have done this regularly? It's slow start, ramp up velocity.
Normally with, like, starters.
Yeah, a lot of starters. You hear about it every year. Slow starter. He's got to find the zone. A lot of that is bull. Okay, because I've been covering this baseball since 01, and a lot of it, they make up things when, you know, they're trying to send a positive message. Like, for all those years and the Royals were going to lose 100 games, he's working on some things. And, you know, I was trying to locate my fastball. Well, you didn't really do a good job of it. They hit 4 home runs today, you know, like, you know, those kinds of things. I think people will say they're working on it and it's slow and it's a process, when they're not really sure and they're really not confident about it right now. And so I think if you're the Royals, man, you give this another week or so, you see how he is once he comes back from the World Baseball Classic. But if it's not where it needs to be, you've got to start scouring the market and trying to figure out what you're going to do with that closer position. Because, again, I just don't think there's anything more demoralizing in sports than your team battles for 8 innings and your closer comes out there and serves up meatballs and all of a sudden you lose the ball game.
I'm also trying to hope Vern's sanity stays safe for the first month of the season, because if Estevez goes out there and blows saves in the first 30 games of the season, that's going to be one hell of a postgame show on 96.5 The Fan.
Yeah.
And I'll be sitting in my car every time I hear Vern go to the phone lines going,
oh, gosh.
By the way, that was 460 feet, 115.8 off the bat.
God, the voice does sound so damn familiar, though.
I don't know who it is.
It's driving me nuts today.
Need to figure out who that is.
Could be nobody, though. Could be just some guy that was
a guy.
Like, I feel like if we play that, because you know how managers are weird? Like, they just have that, like, whatever that is in their brain that they could just, either it's a photogenic memory or it's a sound or a moment. I feel like if we play that for Q and we have him on for the season, like, who is this?
Yeah.
Right away. Oh, that's Scotty. He's our assistant hitting coach. Like, okay, makes sense. I don't know who that was, but I want to know because, like, I had the same reaction because the tweet went out and then eventually the video goes out and then, you know, so on and so forth. Everybody says Mac and Bob have had a Tuesday, but Dusty's not the only one that's not having a bad Tuesday. But you love to see that. Keep it coming, Jack. Mm-hmm. See what you do in the World Baseball Classic as well for Team Italy, because that'll be a stage where, like, you'll be a needed bat, similar to what you'll be needing in the regular season. I don't know what the Chiefs are going to do. I know yesterday was quite a day for at least, I think, the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, obviously, Brett Veach speaking at the Combine in Indianapolis. We'll have people on there throughout the week. Mitch Holtis is out there. Matt McMullen's out there. Nate Taylor's out there as well. Helping us with some content out there. So the Jets announced yesterday that Breece Hall's getting the franchise tag.
Mm-hmm.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Right?
But you could also do a sign and trade, but if you weren't willing to give up a third last year at the deadline for Breece Hall, will you be willing to meet the Jets' demands now for Breece Hall? And I just don't think you trade for Breece Hall. There's other options out there.
And you also
franchise tagged him to keep him, too.
Yeah, and I think that's what I was kind of alluding to last week, where I'm like, the Jets are going to screw this up for everybody, right? They're either going to give Breece Hall money and say, you're going to be the cornerstone of the franchise we are rebuilding, or they franchise tag him. Because you say tag and trade, but, like, in all reality, if you're explaining something to somebody who's not really a follower of the sport, you'd be like, that's a very rare thing to happen.
It is. It really is. Yeah.
Normally when you see they're going to franchise tag him, the first thing, like, everybody seemed to do on Twitter yesterday was like, well, that calls the Breece Hall thing off. So there's one gone. Javonte Williams gone, right? And Brett Veach spoke yesterday, and this is what he talked about with the Chiefs offseason plans.
I think every year, it's a challenge, and you know, we do have some flexibility with how we're set up to do some different things, but you know, it's not like we have $90 million in cap space. You know, we have to execute an efficient game plan and free agency, and then we got to nail these picks, and that'll be important for us to keep this run going. Obviously, we had a step back last year, and everyone's disappointed, but everyone's motivated, and you know, even the coaching staff, too. Like I said, the last few years, we haven't had a chance to really get with them much before the combine, and right after that Vegas game, I mean, those guys were all in, and it was exciting and energetic in a way just to get out there. And I think the last few years, you know, we were kind of just like in a maintenance stage, and now we're trying to just rebuild this thing again. And I think for a GM and a personnel staff, that's exciting.
Should be, right? This is the, I guess, most primo position that Brett Veach has been able to draft in with the top 10 pick, ninth overall. We see all the mock drafts. We'll have Binkley on in about 20 minutes, and he's got a mock draft dropping either today or I believe it's today with the Character Concerns podcast with he and Chris Unicero. But obviously plans are going to happen. We've seen Mike Dana get released. I heard, you know, Brett Veach talk about that. Like, hey, we want to give him time to go out there, and then if we need to, we can get back into a conversation if we want to bring him back. I don't think that's a reunion. And then obviously the name Travis Kelce gets brought up. And I don't know, if you were to, like, number offseason moves of importance, I think Kelsey's decision and what happens with him is in the top three, maybe top two, with what this team is going to do in the offseason. I think if you look at the running back position, the Travis Kelce situation, and the Trent McDuffie situation, I think those are probably the three most intriguing stories that we're looking at as of right now. Obviously, the draft is such a conglomerate of stuff that I don't know, like, where that is, because some people have Lemon, some people have Bain, some people have Love, some people have maybe a guy you haven't thought of that's a perfect fit for the Chiefs. But this was Brett Veach on the Kelce situation.
Yeah, I think we've kind of taken a different approach with Travis, in the sense that I think, you know, we've kind of prepared for either scenario. And Coach had mentioned on Friday, he's had great dialogue with Travis on our end, myself, Crochet, Travis's crew. We've had some good dialogue there. And I'm sure we're going to see him here just like we will all the other players' agents, and we'll continue that dialogue. But Travis is the best. He's an icon, and hopefully he comes back, and we'll just kind of let that process play out. It's not your typical, hey, 27-year-old, first time at free agency. I mean, Travis has done everything. He's accomplished everything. He's about to get married. He's got a lot going on. And so I don't think there's an element of us not trying to, you know, you need some sort of deadline timeline, but at the same time, I mean, it's Travis Kelce, so we're going to just continue to have positive dialogue and see where this thing ends. But I think we're trying to position ourselves that either way, you know, we have a plan moving forward.
So it sounds like they're just waiting on him.
Yeah.
And all reality, like, he gives him all his accolades, all the excuses that are well merited, right? Like, he's getting married. He's not a 27-year-old free agent anymore. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. He's done everything he needs to do. And we've basically said to ourselves, we are going to do one of two things, move on without him or move on with him. And either way, we are prepared on both sides of that sphere to see what we do moving forward.
Well, and I think they kind of know what they're going to do and where Travis is going to be. I would assume Travis is coming back, and they're planning on having Travis Kelce come back. Mm-hmm. But I don't think Travis Kelce coming back or retiring should have any impact on what you're doing this offseason or what you're really doing for the future. I mean, Brett Veach said it, you know, there. He goes, for the last few years, we've been maintaining. And that's a great way to put it. I love the fact that he said that, because that kind of let us all in about, like, what's been going on? Why haven't you been updating the roster? Well, we keep going to the Super Bowl. We're just going to maintain where we are. And now we're kind of in that rebuild stage. And he used that term rebuild. I don't think Travis Kelce should have an impact on your rebuild process at all. To me, Travis Kelce ends up being, the final piece of your meal, you know, that nice piece of the meal that ties it all together at the end. But it shouldn't, you know, affect if you're going to have salmon, if you're going to have steak, if you're going to have chicken, you get that extra piece at the end that ties that whole meal together. That's Travis Kelce. You should still go in and prepare that meal, because he's not going to be here next year, right? You still got to rebuild. But having Travis Kelce should not affect anything that this team wants to do. If you feel like you still need to go get a tight end, go get a tight end. If you feel like you need to go get a running back, go get a running back. And, oh, by the way, Travis will be here as well to kind of shepherd everybody through this kind of final season that he's going to see here in Kansas City. So one way or the other, you know this thing is over in less than 300 days, right? One way or the other, you're done with Travis Kelce after this season. So you've got to prepare that Travis Kelce just isn't going to be part of your future, because this is a good draft to start planning out the next wave, right? If you're rebuilding, you want to plan out that next wave. But having Travis Kelce, you know, in the mix isn't holding you back from doing what you need to do to move forward as an organization at all. It's not like Aaron Rodgers and you're waiting on your quarterback, you know?
Yeah, tight end should be a part of your plan no matter what, because need future there. So it may not be in the draft this year, so we could look at free agents. We did it the other night on After Hours. It's bleak. David Njoku's probably the only name
you'd really want. Kyle Pitts has got franchise tag.
Yep. Isaiah likely is going to get overpaid. I don't want to have that on this team at all. He can't run block. He's not good for the system. So, yeah, they've got to figure that out either way. I thought it was interesting when Brett Veach said, speaking on Kelce, like, there is a line, you know, where we'll need to kind of figure out what's going on. So I just want, when is that line where Veach is in his office kind of pacing back and forth going, okay, I got to call him.
Yeah. There isn't one.
No, there is. There has to be.
I would say the line is probably April 1st.
Yeah, like getting close to the draft, like, hey, dude, I need to know what's going on.
I would say, hey, I'm going to give you all of the offseason, but April 1st, you know.
Well, maybe next week. It's the league year. I mean,
maybe it's tax day.
March 11th kind of starts, you know, the league
that
year.
That makes sense.
So a week from Monday, you know, you kind of got to know where we're going to be on the cap and what your salary is going to be. And so I just don't think, like, I think they know what's going on, right?
Yeah,
nothing is official, obviously, until the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed and nobody wants to get ahead of themselves, and if they say something, then it ticks off the others, whatever the case may be, right? Mm-hmm. So you just kind of let it play out. This is also the silly season and the misdirection season, too. So most of this stuff that these guys are spewing up there, I'm not like the Raiders yesterday, right? Oh, we'd love to have Max Crosby back. Translation, make us your best offer. He's available, right? Oh, we don't know what we're going to do at number one. Mendoza may not be our pick. Translation, we hate this guy. Make us your best offer, you know, at number one. The 49ers with Mac Jones yesterday. Well, it's going to take a lot to trade him. Make him your offer. You know, the Eagles yesterday, we're going to do something different other than the tush push now, because people thought and know how to stop it. Okay. We're still going to do the tush push out there, right? So this is the misdirection season, where a lot of it is lies. A lot of it is just, you know, fodder.
Elies
and all that kind of stuff. So I always laugh at the GMs and coaches that talk at the combine, because a lot of it is. It's just misdirection. It's the silly season. And a lot of guys are trying to get offers out there for their picks. You know, the Jets maybe want to trade their pick. Maybe the Giants want to trade their pick. Hell, would you be opposed to the Chiefs trading out of 9 and picking up a couple of extra first round picks, or maybe another first and a second round pick?
Absolutely. That'd be great.
That'd be fun, right?
Yeah, I'd be cool in on that. Yeah.
So I think everything's on the table for every team out there right now. That's like, this would be, if you're a GM, this would be the part that I would like. Going around, gossiping, getting all the information, taking your notes, putting together a plan, figure out what's going on, figure out who wants to do what, and then kind of put your plan together. Because once they get back from Indianapolis, now you're really going to have an idea of what's going on, because you met with all these agents, right? You've talked to the other teams. You know what you can start to try to accomplish. after you talk to everybody in person.
Yeah, I'd get pretty goofy around draft time if I was a GM. That's where I'd start playing the draft like I play poker. I'd be like, I know what hands I'm going to put my chips and focus on, mm-hmm. and I know what hands I'm going to try to, like, steal a few blinds to get me a couple rounds around the table without, you know, anybody, like, noticing what I'm doing. And I do think that the combine slash free agency area is fun, but, I mean, how fun is it on your fantasy draft when, you know, you're picking like fifth and you go, man, if this guy picks him, I can steer this thing any way I want.
Mm-hmm.
And like, yeah. I feel like that's like the childish version of the NFL draft. Obviously, I would not know what to do once my team was on the clock.
Right.
Like, you think radio clock is fast the first day you step into a studio.
Well, remember the Vikings missed the time, you know?
Well, that is a fair point. This was also Veach on the dialogue of he and McDuffie.
Yeah, I mean, we've had a lot of dialogue with Trent, looking forward to get with him. And obviously Trent's a great player and see what we can do there, but certainly love to have Trent back and for the long term.
So
if we can come to an offer, great. If not, we have the ability to trade Trent McDuffie. I mean, that's exactly what that is. You know, they looked at Trent a couple of years ago as one of those kind of those next pillar guys of that next wave of, you know, of talent here in Kansas City. But I love Trent McDuffie both personally and professionally. But guys, do you think he's more valuable to us as a player or as somebody as a trade chip? Obviously, depending on what you get back for that trade chip. But I can make a case either way. This is a tough one for me. I think, you know, and I hate to say this, but we already may have gotten the best we'll ever get out of Trent McDuffie. A couple of Super Bowls, a couple of Pro Bowl years, and maybe you sell high. And maybe that's what you do, and you move on from Trent McDuffie. Or you decide, hey, you know what, if we can come out to a team-friendly deal and it makes sense for us and we can lock you up long-term, then hey, maybe we will lock you up long-term because he is the best cornerback that's come through here. What do you guys think? I'd love to get your opinions, Mac and Dusty, on this. Like, what would you do in this situation?
Well, what did we say yesterday about Jeremiah Love? Like, if he got picked ninth, we'd be like, eh, all right, I'll figure out how to like this. Even though, like, going into it, I, you know, would want defensive line or whatever, but eventually you would just be like, I mean, I'm not pissed, right?
You can, like, you're pissed, but you're not pissed.
Yeah. I think, am I wrong speaking for both of us right now about the McDuffie thing where it's like, I would love it, but if I'm not going to get what I want for him, then I could make myself like the fact that now he's a lifer in Kansas City and he's one of the best in his positions. It's
like we're settling for something really awesome too, you know, but I get what you're coming from on that because I'm kind of the same way as you, Dusty.
I can convince myself. I mean, he's a 25-year-old all-pro corner. Like, I can get there.
Yeah. Great off the field, great on the field.
Yeah
great year in the team.
Like, yeah, he's an A-plus guy. He's an A-player. So, I just want us to put him in the right situations. My daughter thinks he's hot too.
So,
he is hot. Yeah. He's got
swag.
Yeah. Great eyes. He's got swag. Yes.
He's taken, ladies.
Good-looking guy. I just wish we'd put him in the right situation. I think we failed in the last two seasons.
I don't disagree with that. That's a great point by you.
He's
a
5'10" corner that they've decided to put out in the X. He's a slot corner. That's when he was an all-pro. He's a slot. I mean, I've said it a million times. So put him in a better situation. If you're Trent McDuffie, you'd want to be put in a better situation too.
Yeah, I think he was in a bad situation last year. And I go back to talking about the different personalities of players and whatnot and looking at, you know, Justin Reed and how much he was missed this year because he was such a leader and a floor general, if you will, out there, a field general. And they wanted Trent McDuffie to kind of be that guy, but that's not his personality, right? That's not who he is as a human being. And you can't change somebody and say, all right, now take, you know, who you are and be a leader out here. That's not who I am. That's not what I do. And so that's why I think Caleb Downs would be a great pick at number nine if he's there.
Well, I said, yes, he's going two overall the Jets.
Yeah, I mean, right? Like, if he goes two overall.
I think that wish is gone.
I think that wish is gone too. But that's really where the Chiefs do need to focus, though, is shoring up that safety spot and getting that alpha dog back there that is that true field general like you had with Justin Reed and you had with Tyrann Mathieu. And so if you get that guy back in the equation and you better cast, if you will, Trent McDuffie as a guy that's going to be a listener and not the leader and not the guy who has to be the back end floor general, then yeah, it's a much better situation. And I'm not down really on Trent after last year. There was no defensive line pressure that took any pressure off of him. And the Justin Reed situation ended up being a miss, you know, by this organization by allowing him to go. And so all of that stuff factors in. And it's all that stuff that nobody wants to talk about, that behind the scenes stuff that has such a big impact on what goes on the field with these guys.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba, I'm loving it. Well, hello, everybody. Happy Wednesday.
Better believe it. It's a poll question on a Wednesday for the Fesco and Dusty poll question on the Fan 965. And I kind of alluded to it earlier. Would your opinion change more on the Chiefs if they did select Jeremiah Love at the 9th overall pick? Or do you think people's opinion would change more on Darren Peterson if he took Kansas to a Final Four? So
I think the Jeremiah Love thing.
Because if you think about it, we've heard a lot of people, I don't know, I don't want to say everyone, but I would say it's about 60-40, maybe 65-35, that are pretty advocate of saying, I do not want a running back in the first round. We've seen that you don't need to do this. Go sign a free agent. But with the Breece Hall information yesterday, that leaves like Travis Etienne is a name that could be possibly
absolutely
coming.
It's
here.
It's a good pick. Yeah, it's a good sign.
And Allgeier could be still a name that you look at in the open market. Rico Dowdle's another name that maybe could be a piece here as well. But what would you change your mind more so? Do you think the perception would be the Chiefs taking Jeremiah Love at 9th with a running back, or if Darren Peterson were to lead KU to a Final Four, would all be forgotten?
I think people have their mind made up about Darren Peterson, and I think that's not going to change. I do think a lot of fans, though, would be excited with a running back because that's a sexy position, right? And Jeremiah Love is a sexy name who played at a sexy university at Notre Dame. And so what do? We watch the sexy schools. We've seen Jeremiah Love play. It's a name. So I think people would be stoked. I think the fans would be stoked with Jeremiah Love. I think the interesting one about Darren Peterson is, though, even if they win the national championship, everybody will paint everybody else as the reason why they won the national championship based on the way the narrative's been on Darren Peterson. So I just think people have their minds made up on him. No, I think if Jeremiah Love gets drafted here, he'll be a fan favorite immediately, and a lot of people will be buying that jersey.
We'll find out. We'll talk to
Big. It happens all the time.
To that guy next here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan. Fesco and Dusty is brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.